Certainly good to be with you this morning as God has given us another opportunity to be able to assemble as we just sang together, God is so good. And I'm sure all of us would be in agreement with those thoughts. As we now open God's Word, we realize that we serve a great and gracious God. As you know, we are entering a time of season where people are getting sick, people have the sniffles. We have quite a few this morning that aren't feeling well. I was having a little Bible study this morning with Gary in the suburban, and as the wind was blowing, I was watching this cedar tree, and you could just see the pollen going up in the air. And I thought to myself, well, it's here. Cedar season is here. And so if you're one like me that struggles with cedar allergies, be ready. Get prepared because you're probably going to feel the effects of that. By way of announcements, I know Brother Petrosky has several announcements that he is going to make. I was wanting to make one of those announcements this morning. This morning we are rejoicing because our sister Joyce Lida wants to be identified with the congregation here at Lake Country. We appreciate our sister in Christ. We're thankful that she has made that decision to place membership with us. We're looking forward to getting to know her more, being able to work with her. We certainly give God the glory in all of that. The Apostle Paul would say in Romans chapter 13, verse number 11, and that knowing the time, it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. As we think about that phrase, now is our salvation nearer than when we believe, it causes me to think about, well, what is Paul saying here? Well, what does he mean? My salvation is nearer than when I believed. Well, from Romans 13, verse number 11, the Apostle Paul is talking about our eternal salvation, which is the goal of our faith. As the Apostle Peter would say in 1 Peter 1, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the eternal salvation of your soul. And so when Paul says we need to wake up spiritually speaking, he has the idea of being mindful of eternal salvation. You see, with each passing day, or we could say with each passing year, however you look at it, we are getting closer and closer to the end. We are getting closer to our salvation becoming a reality. Now, when you stop and think about how people are living their lives outside of Christ, you realize that most in this world, they're not thinking about the end. Well, as New Testament Christians, we're thinking about the end. More specifically, we're thinking about eternal salvation. I want you to see a contrast with me in the book of Romans. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 21. And we'll read verse number 22. And you'll see this contrast that I'm talking about. In verse 21, Paul is talking about those who are outside of Christ. They're not thinking about the end. Verse 21, he's talking about those who are in Christ. In Romans chapter 6, in verse number 21, Paul will ask the question, what fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Notice the question again. Paul is asking these Christians that obeyed the gospel. Think about how you were living your life before you came to Christ. Paul again says, what fruit had ye in those things that in the way that you live? He says, for the end of that lifestyle is death. But now being made free from sin, you have become the servants of God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end, everlasting life. What a contrast. Those who are outside of Christ, as you think about the end, is death. For those who are in Christ, as we think about the end, it has to do with everlasting life. You and I, as we go through this life, we should be thinking about eternity. We should be thinking about everlasting life. But here's the question. How do I know I'm thinking about the end? How do I know that I'm thinking about eternal life? Well, consider these points with me this morning, because it will help determine whether or not we're thinking about the end, whether or not we're thinking about eternal life. Think about this past year. In this past year, could you say that your relationship with God improved? Could you say that from this last year? Looking at the present, could I say that my relationship with God has improved? Let's read a couple of passages together. Let's begin in the book of 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, let's read verse 3 and 4 together. 1 John chapter 2, notice with me verse number 3 and verse number 4. The Apostle John says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." What is the Apostle John encouraging? What is he talking about here in 1 John 2, verse 3 and 4? He's talking about fellowship. He's talking about having a relationship with God, intimacy with God. Look at another passage, if you would, from the book of Matthew. Turn back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus essentially talks about that relationship that we have with God. And He says in Matthew 12, verse number 50, "For whosoever shall do the will of the Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." As you stop and think about these two passages that we've just read, both of these passages talk about how to have a close relationship with God. If we're thinking about eternity, we should be growing in a closer relationship with God. But how do we grow closer to God? By being God's obedient children. Both of those passages emphasize obedience. In 1 Peter 1 verse 14, we learn as New Testament Christians, we are God's obedient children. And that's why God wants us to grow. That's why God wants us to learn His Word. He wants us to learn His Word, and He wants us to be obedient to what we have learned. But we cannot be obedient to what we don't know, but we can be disobedient. That's why ignorance is no excuse. Long ago, God told His people in Hosea 4, verse number 6, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Now you contrast Hosea 4, verse number 6, with 2 Peter 3, verse 18, where the Apostle Peter says, "We are to grow in grace and in knowledge." My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. God says, "I want my people to grow in knowledge." God wants us to learn His Word, and He wants us to respond in obedience to what we learn, and thus we become God's obedient children. And when we become God's obedient children, we grow closer to our God. In James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, we learn that we are to submit ourselves to God. We are to resist the devil. And when we submit and when we resist the devil's temptations, James says we draw nearer and nearer to our God. And this recipe or this formula that we see for spiritual growth, it never stops. And so, if I'm thinking about the end, if I'm thinking about eternal life, I am going to grow closer and closer to my God as the time passes by. How do I know I am thinking about eternity again in this past year? Could you say that your relationship with God has improved? Think about this second thing. In the past year, has our relationship not only with our God, but has our relationship with our brethren improved? Our relationship with God is important, but our relationship with one another is just as important. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And the Apostle Paul, as he writes by inspiration, he is going to encourage the brethren at Thessalonica to grow in what we're talking about this morning from this point. To grow in our love for one another. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want to begin in verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all of Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Paul isn't saying that you don't love one another. He's confirming, he's confessing to them, I see that you love one another, and you know that you've been taught by God to love, but be sure you continue in your love. Continue to increase in that love. In 1 Peter 1, verse 22, Peter says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Oh, as we think about eternal life, growing in our relationship with one another, growing in that love for one another should improve with the passing of time. Again, when we're growing in our relationship with God, I'm convinced that we're going to grow in our relationship with one another. Hebrews 13, verse number 1, the writer says, let brotherly love continue. Again, let brotherly love continue. But as you think about loving the brethren is a reciprocal act. I must love, but I must also receive that love. And we see in Romans chapter 12, in fact, if you would, turn over to Romans chapter 12, and I believe you will see the point that I'm making about love being a reciprocal act. Here in Romans chapter 12, drop down, if you would, to verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, you live peaceably with all men. Well, Clay, that doesn't mention anything about love. Go back to verse number 9, and you'll notice the context, verse number 9, let love be without hypocrisy. And so as you think about love, as you think about peace, peace falls under the umbrella of love. This is what love looks like in a very practical way. If we love one another, we will make it a point to live at peace with one another. But I'm emphasizing one part of verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lies in you. You see, loving one another starts with you. It starts with me. A lot of times when it comes to peace or love, we're waiting for the other person to show some love, to show that peace. But God says the opposite to His children. No, I want you to make the first step. Or we might say, I want you to make the first move. You remember what we said from 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 9? We have been taught by God to love. I want you to stop and think about that. We have been taught by God to love. We also learn in 1 John 4:18 and 19, we love Him because He first loved us. Now, if we follow His example, we are going to love first. We're going to make the first move toward loving our brethren because that's what our God has taught. Love is a reciprocal act. I need to love. And in return, I need to receive that love. And that works hand in hand. But in 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 15, Paul says these words to the Corinthians, "The more I love you, the less I'm loved by you." And it shouldn't be like that. The more we love the brethren in return should love us. We are commanded to grow in our relationship, not only with God, but in our relationship with one another. And so as we look back to this past year, has our relationship with our brethren improved? Are we really thinking about eternity? Knowing that the end of our faith is the eternal salvation of our soul. Are we thinking about eternal salvation? Well, think about point number three. In this past year, has our relationship to this world improved? You see, if we are truly thinking about eternity, we're going to be thinking about the world. That is, we're going to be thinking about lost souls. We're all familiar with the Great Commission, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. If I'm thinking on a spiritual level, a godly level, if I'm seeking the kingdom first, I'm going to think souls. I'm going to be like the psalmist, and I'm going to be like Paul, who was quoting from the book of Psalms in 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 13, when he says these words, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken." Paul says, we also believe, and therefore we speak. If we really believe what we're talking about this morning, it's going to be obvious. It's going to be seen in how we live our lives by our willingness to share the gospel to a lost and dying world. Solomon said in Proverbs 11, verse number 30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Again, if we're thinking about eternity, are we thinking souls? Are we striving to be a soul winner of Jesus Christ? Are we like the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing that there's going to be a judgment? I am persuading others to obey the gospel. Remember, we're not promised tomorrow. When it comes to time, Christ may return at any moment. There is a sense of urgency when it comes to salvation, and that's why God wants us to share the gospel with those in this world. Not next week, not next year, but today is the day of salvation. As you have that opportunity to share the gospel, we should be sounding out the word of the Lord like the congregation at Thessalonica was doing in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse number 8. We should be letting our light shine. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." We are to have a positive influence. Salt makes things taste good. We are, again, to have a positive influence on others in this world. Again, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." By the way we live our lives, we demonstrate to the world that there is a much better way to live. Have we grown in our relationship to the world with the world this last year? Something that we ought to be thinking about if we're thinking about eternity. Number four, in this past year, has our service to God improved? Again, if we're thinking about the end, if we're thinking about eternal salvation, can we look back this past year and say, you know what, our service for God has improved. On Wednesday nights, we are studying the seven congregations of Asia Minor. And we finished studying the congregation at Thyatira. In Revelation 2:19, the Lord says, I know your patience. I know your works. And He says this, the last to be more than the first. In essence, the Lord is saying to the congregation at Thyatira, you are now doing more for me than at the beginning. And that's the way it should be. If we're growing, if we're maturing, if we understand that we're talking about eternity, we should be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, is not in vain. Again, the Lord's work is not in vain. It is the most important work that we should be doing. And it's something that we should be increasing in day by day. As the days pass by, as the years pass by, we should be able to look back this past year and see that, you know what, we've grown in these areas. We're doing more for the Lord now than we did at the beginning of last year. That should be said of every Christian, knowing that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward His name. Hebrews 6, verse number 10. God isn't going to forget the love, the labor. And it is to be a labor of love. Not just labor, but a labor of love. And this reminds us of the congregation at Ephesus. They left their first love. Perhaps they were doing all of the right things, but not out of the right motivation. Our labor, our service, it is to be done out of love. As we think about eternity and as we're challenging ourselves by looking at these points, listen to point number 5. In the past year, have we made good use of our time? Have we made good use of our time, or have we squandered the time? The Bible has a lot to say about time. In Psalm 89, verse number 47, the psalmist says, remember how short time is. David said in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 15, lifetime is like a shadow. It's here and then it's gone. It's like a vapor that appeareth only for a little while. That's why in Ephesians 5, verse number 16, Paul says we are to redeem the time. Think about that idea of redeeming the time. We are God's redeemed people, and God's redeemed people redeem the time. We understand how precious time is, and we want to buy it up. We want to use it wisely and properly by glorifying God, by doing His work. And so as we think about eternity, can we say that we have redeemed the time? You know, if we've wasted our time, we need to repent of that. We need to right the wrong that we've done, and we need to do the first works. We need to put God first in our lives. And you know, as we begin a new year, each one of us should leave here this morning with the determination, you know, in 2018, I am going to redeem the time. If the Lord allows time to continue, by the end of 2018, I want to be able to look back on my life and I want to see that my relationship with God has improved. Dear friends, all of us in here really need to challenge ourselves to redeem the time, to really think about what we're talking about. Let's make that determination this morning, this year. We are going to draw nearer to our God. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs 8, verse number 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me daily, waiting at the post of my doors. I like that word picture. Here is the individual that is waiting at the tabernacle, waiting to gain entrance, to be able to draw near to his God. In Psalm 84, verse 10, David put it like this, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Again, let's make that determination that we are going to draw closer to God in 2018. It starts with having this attitude of challenging ourselves like Ezra did in Ezra 7 verse 10, who prepared his heart. Let's prepare our heart this morning to draw closer to our God. Well, let's make the application of what we're saying by drawing closer to God. Again, we're here to really stir one another up and to challenge our thinking, because I know all of us in here has that desire to draw near to God. Let me just quickly mention a couple of things that we can all work on that can help us draw nearer to God. Make the determination. If I'm able, if I can, I'm going to come to every Bible class, to open God's Word, to study, to learn. Remember, knowledge is powerful, and knowledge is so important when it comes to drawing near to God, because as you think about knowledge, knowledge is our spiritual food. You see, we're to walk by faith and not by sight, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's have that spiritual appetite of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Let's make it a point. Let's challenge ourselves not to allow ourselves become distracted, but I'm going to do the best that I can to come to every Bible class, to come to every worship service, to look at the bulletin, to look at the bulletin board, whatever it is. I want to see what's going on here at Lake Country, and if I can, I'm going to help out. I'm going to get more involved than I ever have. Let's be sure, again, we challenge ourselves to do that in 2018. Because if we do that, we know that we're thinking about the end. We know that we're thinking about eternal matters. Eternal matters is important. Let's not only determine to draw closer to our God, but here in 2018, let's make the determination, you know what, we are going to draw closer to one another. Romans 12 verse 10, let's be devoted to one another. Notice that, reciprocal act. Let's be devoted to one another. How? In love. Let's resolve this year to teach somebody, to invite somebody. I realize sometimes we are all intimidated when it comes to opening the Word of God and teaching somebody. Listen, we are living in the best of times. There are so many tools out there, good tools that you can use that can help you aid in that study. Oh, I would encourage you this year, if you don't have one in your car, if you don't have one in your house, to order Searching for Truth by Brother John Moore. Great, great correspondence course. You can order the book. You can order the DVD. You can hand that to somebody and say, listen, I've been thinking about your life and I want to study with you. Would you be interested in going through this correspondence course with me? If they say no, would you be interested in taking this correspondence home and watching it home in your own living room? Here's a DVD. Just pop it in. Here's a book. It follows the DVD, and that study will lead them through the plan of salvation. Brothers and sisters, let's make that determination that we are going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody in 2018. Again, if we're going to be faithful, if we're going to hear well done, we need to be about the Lord's work. Let's resolve to do something. Really, it boils down to this. A new year brings new opportunities. As you therefore have opportunity, Galatians 6 verse 10, let's do good unto all men. Let's use our time wisely. And I hope this lesson this morning will stir you up, will stir me up to do more than I did last year. You know, this last year, if you look upon your life and if you grew closer to God, to the brethren, if you've been about the Lord's work, I commend you in that. But again, don't leave here without challenging yourself to do more. Because listen, when it comes to the nature of Christianity, there is always room for improvement. You know, I know when I look at my life, I know there's a lot of room for an improvement. And I want to try to improve this next year. And I want you to try to improve this next year. Because our God deserves the very best that we can give Him. He deserves that. He gave us His very best. Let's be sure we're giving Him the very best as we serve our God in 2018. The lesson is yours. It may be that you're not a Christian. We want you to know this morning what God wants more than anything is for you to become one of His children. And you can do that this morning by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, hearing the gospel and uniting it with faith, repenting of your sins, confessing the precious name of Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If we've already obeyed the gospel, remember we're to walk in newness of life. If we haven't been putting the Lord first in our lives, let's repent of that this morning. It might be that you need the prayers of the church. We want you to know that we're here for you. We're here to pray. We're here to pray for you. We're here to encourage you. If we can help you in any way this morning, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.